You are now listening to The Air Raid, a podcast put on by the writers of Viva the Matadors, an SB Nation site covering everything Texas Tech athletics.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 2 of The Air Raid, a podcast put on by writers of Viva the Matadors, obviously. I am Wes Shaw. I'm here with Matt Hens and Jonathan Althaus, two of our writers. What's up, guys?
Good afternoon, Wes.
Hi there, Wes. Hey there, Matt.
Guys, are we staying cool today? I guess that's the first question.
Yeah, you know what? I wasn't earlier. I did a lot of yard work, but obviously I'm indoors now, so I'm feeling good.
Yeah, I stayed inside today. I was a smart one.
All right. So for all the listeners, this is going to be a 100% Red Raider football episode. So if you're not a fan of the Red Raiders, not a fan of football, we would enjoy you listening, but this is probably not the best use of your 30 minutes, so go ahead and hit stop. For most everybody else, I assume, or probably everybody else, we're going to talk football the upcoming 2015 season. So, without further ado, we're going to jump right in, and I'm going to start with, kind of like we did last time, a broad question, and then we'll start narrowing down. But guys, what do we expect out of the 2015 team? We don't have to necessarily go into the record because we've got some numbers games that we'll play later, and the 2015 record will be a part of that numbers game. But outside of the record, what do you expect? I mean, are we expecting these guys to start buying into Kingsbury's system more, Gibbs to bring a turnover-laden defense with Houston-type improvement? Just a kind of a broad general question to kick off. Matt, why don't you start us off?
Yeah, you know, I mean, anything less than a national title would be considered a failure to me. No, just kidding. But no, I think we should see a pretty significant jump this year in improvement across the board, I believe, definitely on defense. You know, Gibbs coming in, he's got the reputation for turning defenses into turnover machines. That's something we've really lacked the last couple years. I feel we've got a couple guys returning who are going to be great leaders and great playmakers on the field, and Jackson and Pete Robertson, as well as, while they're young, they're pretty experienced, right? Or secondary. They played a lot of games last year. They were kind of out on islands. They learned a lot. They're going to improve. And then if you look over at the offensive side of the ball, you know, this is Kingsbury's really, while he's the head coach, we also know he's the OC. So I thought he got into a good groove towards the end of last year. I think we're going to continue to see him kind of improve as a play caller, a situational play caller. We've got two quarterbacks returning. Whoever wins the job's got great experience. So across the board, I think we should definitely expect improvement and nothing short of a bowl this year.
Jonathan, what do you think?
I think that improvement word is being thrown around a lot, I know, by the writers here at VDM, but by a lot of Tech fans, and that's something that we really have to see here. We've got to see better execution on the offensive side. I think our third down numbers last year were a little bit low. I know they were definitely lower from when Jace was here. And then over on the defensive side, I think we've got to see some definite improvement in that rushing game, in the rush defense. If we don't, then we're going to be in for a long 12 games. There won't be any bowl game if our rush defense doesn't improve. And then also in that secondary, I think we do need to see some improvement from those backs. I think we will. I think Gibbs will help them out. But we really need to see a lot better on that side of the ball, both sides of the ball, really.
Yeah, I agree. I was expecting a bigger year out of Justice Nelson last year after what I thought was a pretty good freshman campaign, and just didn't see it. So I'd like to see him improve, obviously his secondary improve, and not run into a situation where Bethel last year had a good season towards the end of the year, especially, really came on, but I'd hate to see him plateau like Nelson did his sophomore year. Because if he doesn't, if he improves, he's going to be one of the better corners, I think, in the Big 12 by the end of the season. So, speaking of improvements, Matt, you mentioned the quarterback. I don't want to mudsling to either side, but just want to hear from you guys. Are you Team Mahomes or Team Webb? Under the Well, let's keep it pointed at which of those guys do you feel gives us the best opportunity for a good 2015 season? Jonathan, what do you think? Are you Mahomes or Webb?
I'm a Mahomie. I really like Pat. I really loved what he did against Baylor last year. That way to end the season was fantastic, slinging that ball around. And I do think he should start because I haven't seen anything from Davis as of right now that has shown me that he's better than what Pat was doing last year. Now, unless Pat has taken a huge step back and Davis has taken a huge step forward, then I do think Pat should stay as that starter. I know Webb had the surgery in the offseason, so he probably hasn't had as much time as Pat. But then again, Pat was involved with the baseball, so they were both kind of out of the picture for a little bit. But based on what I saw last year and a little bit of the spring game, I really think that Mahomes has that position.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jonathan. You know, Davis Webb, he kind of went into last year with pretty high expectations on him. I think that was pretty unfair to him. He was pretty up and down. He was a model of inconsistency even his freshman year, but he had a good half in a bowl game that really got everybody's hopes up and kind of placed the expectations on him going into last season. You know, he came out, he just didn't look comfortable last year, in my opinion. He turned the ball over, which is, you know, the cardinal sin as a quarterback. You just cannot do that. When Mahomes, took over as the quarterback last year, I think we saw the team really settle down. I will say this. It looked like Kingsbury relied a little bit more on the running game, which seemed to help Pat out. But in my opinion, yeah, you go into this season with Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback just simply based on how we played last year. He didn't turn the ball over. The team seemed to move up and down the field. There was a little bit more confidence there than what you saw with Davis Webb. And for me, yeah, there's no reason why Davis Webb should be starting the season. But with that said, I think he is a terrific backup in the event we've got to go to him. And lastly, something you guys touched on last week, Wes, on the podcast was, you know, we don't really have a ton of receivers that really stick out and can kind of make their own plays. We're very reliant on, you know, the passing game or the plays that are being drawn up versus a guy who can actually just make a play. And I think Davis Webb and his inability to kind of move around the pocket and scare anyone really hurts us, being that we don't have that go-to wide receiver. Pat Mahomes, he's just a quick move out of the pocket, a quick step up and go to the left or right, kind of breaks the defense, linebackers come up. So it really tremendously helps your wide receivers get open a little bit. So I think, you know, part of Mahomes, the reason I would side with Mahomes too is just because we don't have those playmaking wide receivers that a Davis Webb, who's more of a prototypical, take a few steps, sling the ball, those guys aren't going to get open this year. We don't have that guy for them. So we almost have to rely on a play to break down or for a defense anyways to kind of break coverage for a more mobile quarterback to get outside of the pocket or kind of step up into the pocket and be a threat to find some guy down the field.
Yeah, I think I agree with all you guys' points, so we won't beat a dead horse. But one other quarterback note, I've been on the road all day, but Drew from VTM, one of our writers, not sure if you guys have been keeping up with Elite 11, but he said that Jet Duffy is tearing it up at Elite 11 this weekend, so... More guys on the horizon from a quarterback.
That's great.
Yeah.
And I saw that TJ Vasher, the new recruit, said that he's been talking to Jet a bunch already. So we're already starting to get a little bit of a friendship going there.
That's great. Yeah.
I don't want to be a pessimist, but let's not get our hopes up. I think this time last year we were talking about an Elite 11 camp and a four-star quarterback who was out there actively recruiting for us, and we all saw how that played out. So...
Any more notes
like
that?
Let's not count our chickens before the eggs hatch.
Well, any more notes like that from you, I'm going to put you on mute. all right. So here we go. Let's jump into fun with stats. I'm going to give you guys four stats. You tell me over or under on these for the 2014 season. The first is turnover margin. I'm going to give you a little history to go off of first, and then I'll give you the number. You tell me over or under. So turnover margin, the last two seasons in 2014, we were negative 13. And Cliff's first season, 2013, we were negative 14 in turnover margin. So I'm putting the line at -7 turnover margin, which is basically cutting in half what we've done the past two seasons. I'm basing that on Gibbs' defense, and I'm basing that on Kingsbury calling turnovers one of his big initiatives of fixing this off season. So over under -7. Matt, what do you got?
I'm going to go with under -7. I think we are going to cut that in half and improve upon that. Kind of for the reasons that you mentioned, Wes, we've got a defensive coordinator in who's known for coaching up a defense that will create turnovers. So I think we'll see an improvement in that category. And then on the other side of the ball, kind of what I just, you know, spoke about, as well as Jonathan and yourself, with Mahomes doesn't turn the ball over. I think we're going to rely on the running game a little bit more. DeAndre Washington doesn't put the ball on the ground. So whenever you combine a defense who should improve upon the turnovers they've created in the past years, and then you look at an offense who's not going to turn the ball over as much as they have in the past, I think you definitely come in at the under on the -7 turnover margin.
Jonathan?
I do think we're going to improve. I don't know that we're going to be able to improve by 7 turnovers. So I'm going to take the over on that. I just don't think that our defense is going to be able to improve as much as we want it to be. It's nice to talk about Gibbs and say that he's going to make a huge impact on this team. But we are still young, so I do think we're going to get better, but not that much better.
Fair enough. I did see a stat the other day. I think it was 22 of our 28 turnovers last season were from the quarterback position, which I thought was, yeah. Man, if you cut those in half. Anyway, dream a little dream. So the next one, penalties. I'm going to give you a history on these. Cliff's first two seasons last season, 112 penalties in 12 games, so almost 10 penalties a game, 2.5 a quarter. That's an astounding number. And then in his first season, 100 penalties in 13 games. So we were a little bit better his first season. So I'm setting the line at 100, which is basically just a pretty low bar. But again, he said this is one of his points of emphasis for this year. It was turnovers and penalties. So I'm looking for any improvement. One is an improvement from his first two seasons' numbers. What do you guys think, Jonathan?
I think we'll be able to get under 100. I think that we are starting to grow mentally, the team is, and I think they're starting to trust the coaching staff. And I feel Gibbs is going to be able to work with the guys a lot better than our two different defensive coordinators last year. I think they'll see a little bit of cohesion this year. And he's been working with them already in the spring, and I think we're going to see a drop under 100. I think it'll be the best year for Cliff and company.
All right, Matt.
Wow, that's a tough question. I'll go under as well. You know, and I think the reason behind that is kind of familiarity on offense with the system. I think we are going to be more of a running football team this year. We may not approach the game or try to go at a lightning fast pace, which I believe has kind of hurt us in the past. You've got guys who just, you know, penalties are kind of the effect of perhaps fatigue, which I'll get into in a second, but also just, you know, kind of mental lapses, right? So I think when you're playing too fast, you combine that when you're fatigued, you're going to see, you know, quite a few penalties there. I think we've got additional depth across all positions, more so than we've had the last couple of seasons. So I think we are going to come in under 100. With that said, and Jonathan, to kind of go against your point, my concern would be on defense, just because it's kind of it's learning another scheme. So we could be in for a rough couple first games there as far as penalties go, because, you know, guys are not so much just playing, but rather thinking. But I think they'll end up figuring it out, and we'll be in a good place, and we will come in under 100 for the season.
Okay. Yeah, I would agree with both of you guys when it comes to that. I think we'll, with it being a point of emphasis, like you said, Matt, depth is a huge issue. They've talked about getting less snaps for specifically the defensive linemen. So I think we'll see an improvement. We better scene improvement, I would like to say, but TBD. The third one, DeAndre Washington, over or under 1,100 yards. Last season, I believe he rushed for 1,103 yards. So basically, will he repeat 2014 or better, or will he come up a little bit short?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and take this.
Yeah, jump in.
I think he's going to come up a little bit short. History is not on his side, right? He's the first real air raid era running back to eclipse 1,000 yards, more or less 1,100. So I think the last Texas Tech running back who exceeded 1,000 was back in 1998, Ricky Williams. We've only had seven throughout the history of our football program. So history is not on his side. And then you couple that with the fact that, you know, Justin Stockton continues to get pretty pretty great reviews. We all saw he was a home run threat last year. Rumor is he's bulked up. He's willing to hit a hole versus bounce everything outside. I think he's going to get a little more playing time this year, more opportunities, which it's going to keep Washington fresh. I think it's best for the team to have that second running back, but as far as your question goes, no, it's going to kind of impede him from getting up to that same 1,100-yard season that he had last year.
What do you think, Jonathan?
I agree with that. I think Stockton is going to be his big hurdle. I think people are starting to really see what he can bring. And I think we're going to be a good, solid 1-2 back team for the running game. Plus, if Mahomes is under center, he's going to be able to run a little bit too. We've seen that. But Stockton is going to take away a lot of the carries that Washington had last year. He's going to be a little bit of a different kind of back than DeAndre is. But I think that's going to be what's going to help us out in the long run is having two backs that can each do a little bit something different for you. And that's going to hurt DeAndre's both how much he's carrying the ball and how many yards he's going to get. So I think he's going to come just under 1,000. I don't think he's going to have as good of a year last year, but I do think he's going to have a pretty good year again.
Yeah, I agree. When I was thinking about this question prior to us recording this, my thought was our running game will be better at the expense of Washington's individual numbers, but he'll still have a big impact on the season. So I agree with you guys. All right, the last one we'll go over, wins. Five Dimes came out a couple of weeks ago with each college team's over-under number for wins in the 2015 season. The Tech number was 6, so there is no push here. You've either got to go sub-500 or over-500 for the season. Go ahead, Jonathan.
I'm going to take an over. I think we're going to finish the regular season at 6-6 and then go to a bowl game and win. I think we're going to end up at that mark of 7. I think we're going to beat A&M in a bowl game just because I want that to happen. or Mizzou, that would work as well. But I do think we're going to have a couple rough games in the early part of the season, and then the schedule is not very favorable for us in the latter half. I know we've got a couple of big ones late in the year. And the fact that we don't have a bye game until almost Thanksgiving, or a bye week until almost Thanksgiving, I think that's gonna hurt us. But I do think we are gonna finish over 500.
I agree. I won't tell you how many wins we're gonna get, but and I kind of touched on this. I think to kick this off with expectations. I mean, we've got Kingsbury's third year. Everybody's been in the program 3 years. He's playing his guys that know how to run his offense. He's got a quarterback, hopefully in Mahomes, that takes care of the football. He's got a terrific running back with another one who, you know, kind of looks to be the next guy in line who can step in and be a big-time playmaker for us. We've got a great offensive line, so offensively I think we're stacked. Defensively, we've got a DC who's known for coaching up teams who create turnovers. We've got some defensive playmakers and a lot of leadership returning. I'm no consideration of the schedule, and I'm not blinded by last year's subpar season, but I would say we're definitely going to win 7 or more games next season.
I like it. I like the optimism out of you guys. I'm on the fence on this, but no one cares about my opinion. So I do like y'all's optimism, though. So, in that vein, who wins the Big 12? Do either of you want to fathom a guess at that?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and kick it off. It pains me to say, you know, the two teams that I think come to mind are two teams that any Red Raider fan would, you know, probably the teams that we least want to see win it. That's either TCU or Baylor. I'm going to give TCU the edge. I actually believe Baylor made kind of struggle this year just because of a new quarterback. You never know how a guy stepping in is going to perform, and we all know the quarterback position is the most important position on the field. So I'm going to go with TCU. I mean, you got a Heisman candidate returning. You got Gary Patterson, and he's a defensive-minded coach, so you know he's going to be able to draw up some good defensive plays, be able to make some stops when they need to. So yeah, TCU Horned Frogs, unfortunately.
Jonathan,
as much as this hurts, I'm going to have to pick Baylor. I'm going to go against your note, Matt, on the new quarterback. I've got some family that are Baylor grads, and we were talking last weekend about the new quarterback, and they really believe that this guy can run the offense a lot better than Petty could. So if that can happen, then everybody better watch out for Baylor.
That's a big if, Jonathan.
It is a big if, but I think they're close. And I'm predicting TCU to have an off year this year. I'm going against pretty much everybody. And maybe there's some irrationality in there. But I do think Baylor is going to be able to pretty much take everybody out this year.
Yeah, I struggle with this. I think I lean towards Jonathan's side of thinking. I think TCU comes back to the pack just a little bit this season. I feel like, and I've said this on the site before and got roasted by a TCU fan who jumped in, but I think Boykin is a little bit overrated. But all quarterbacks on winning teams are, for the most part, in college football these days. But I feel like he's a little bit overrated. I feel like he'll come back to the pack a little bit, and so will TCU. And I think Baylor's defense is going to be improved this season, unfortunately, with Oakman coming back. And they're kind of primed, I think, to win it yet again.
So are you guys suggesting that between TCU and Baylor – you guys would give us a better shot of beating Baylor this year beating TCU than beating Baylor?
Good question. I want to say TCU. Maybe that's my heart instead of my head, but I want to say TCU merely for the fact that we get them at home.
Yeah, the thing that goes against this is what happened last year. The fact that we were so close to beating Baylor, and some of that may have been just because we had nothing to lose being the last game of the season. And what happened in that fateful afternoon in Fort Worth, which I was unfortunately able to witness live. I do think we're going to give TCU a good run for the money at home, but I think we're going to be able to hang with Baylor too. So those two games are going to be, I think, pretty close ones.
It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I almost actually picked OU to win the whole Big 12 when I was thinking about this previously, but I couldn't do that. And not just because of Mayfield, but I feel like their quarterback position is as unsettled as one is in the Big 12 outside of maybe Kansas. A couple more questions, and then we'll wrap this up. Give me a player on the Tech roster. A little bit under the radar, but will have a big impact on the season. Go ahead, Jonathan.
All right, I'll take this. I'm going to take somebody that was pretty big on the radar last year and doesn't seem to be as big this year, and that's Rika. I think he's been able to adjust to playing in the NCAA, and I think he's going to have a monster year on that line. He's been able to get a little bit better in shape, I've heard, and I think his endurance is going to be up a little bit higher. And I know on that can't remember who wrote the article on it. It was about the Arkansas game, and there was one play where he stood up that runner, and it was, I think, one of the only times in that game where we were able to do that. And so I think he's going to have a monster season on that line. Everybody's going to think that they can run against Tech because they could last year, but I think he's going to be able to stop that.
Nice. Matt, what do you think?
Wow, I think you know, Wes, you and I talk quite a bit about Tech football, so you're probably going to be very surprised to hear me say this, but I think that guy is J.J. Gaines this year.
Yeah, hold on, stop. Yeah, I've got to go in a while. Matt and I exchanged plenty of texts last season about Gaines and the bad angles that he took, and just it just seemed like he was on the radar for bad plays quite a bit. Hey, from Matt's perspective,
he was on my bad radar this year or last year. He's on my good radar this year, and I think, you know, this is all provided he, what, he had shoulder surgery, so he's, let's say he's 100% going into the season, going into camps where he can really compete for the job. A big part of this is just the new defensive scheme. And last year he struggled, like you said, a lot of bad angles making tackles. Well, you know what? You're not going to be very successful playing football if your safeties are always the guys who are making tackles. So I think our linebacking core kind of hung him out to dry last year a little bit. Put him in spots where, yeah, he had to make tackles, which is not a strong suit. But he did show significant improvement in that area last year. But you look at turnovers, right? That's the name of the game. That's what David Gibbs is going to preach. I think he had two or three picks last year. He had some nice breakups. He seems to be the guy who I think can, one, if the ball's there, he's going to catch it. I can't recall him dropping passes or dropping interceptions the last couple years. And two, I think he's that guy who's going to go in there with, if you're going to preach defense, and everything I've heard is, you know, get a guy, stand him up, somebody go for the strip. I could see that J.J. Gaines guy. I look at the number three, and I think Dwayne Slay. He's not that type of player as far as giving the big hit, but I think he's that type of guy who may be able to go in there and strip a few footballs. So that's going to benefit somebody else. He could be the guy that picks it up. But yeah, J.J. Gaines is my guy this year for kind of under the radar right now that I think we're all going to be looking at a few weeks into the season, and then at the end of the year saying, wow, that guy really played well.
Nice. I'm going to go way off the radar then. I'm going to say Andre Ross. If he's healthy, and when he was healthy, that guy's a freaky athlete. And he just – health is a question. And then number two, because of his health, he missed spring ball. So I'm afraid maybe he'll be a little bit behind the curve. But I think if he comes into fall healthy and picks up the system quickly, or if they can utilize him as just a pass rusher, I thought that guy was just a freak athlete off the edge when he got to play. So he may be a guy who's way, way under the radar, but could have an impact on the season. All right, I'm going to go off script for the last question. Jonathan, you and I talked about this a little bit in an air raid warm-up session we had a couple of weeks ago, so I'll let you answer first. That way it gives Matt time to collect his thoughts. But give me a Big 12 player, not on the Tech roster, obviously, that you would like to pluck from another team and put on the Tech roster.
Okay. I know when we talked about this originally, I picked just pretty much any corner from any good defense on another team. But after thinking about it, I'm going to take Oakman. I think he gives any team he's on a little bit of a nasty edge, and I think that's something you need. I'm not sure we have anybody like that, and I think he would just really solidify our defense, just as much as it can be solidified with as young and as inexperienced as we are. But I do think I want to take him.
Yeah, I agree, and I think always harken back to the 2008 season when our defense – was as good as it's been in the last 15 years, and it was because of two guys, McKenna Dixon and Brandon Williams. We had edge rushers that could get to the quarterback that allowed us to play zone behind them, rush four, play zone behind. We were consistently getting pressure on the quarterback, and it made our defense look the best that it's ever looked, like I said, in the past 15 years. So I agree. I would go with Oakman for that reason alone. Matt, have you had time to collect your thoughts? And
yeah, to me, I mean, I wish I could give you guys a name that might make you say, oh, wow, you know, good thinking there. But I'm going to go with what's really a no-brainer in my mind, and that's Trevon Boykin. I mean, you got a guy who's going to be a senior. He's a Heisman candidate. He just led his team to, you know, the best season they've had in years. The guy's a threat throwing the ball, running the ball. Being that we're, you know, kind of in a position where we're once again going into the season with the thought that a Patrick Mahomes will be that guy, but not really knowing. And being that the quarterback position is the most important position on the team, I've got to go with a guy who's proven to have done it and a guy who's going into the season as probably the leading Heisman candidate.
Yeah, not a bad – I mean, I won't complain. Yeah. I just feel like on I think we have more improvement to be made on defense as opposed to offense. So I kind of just started with offense completely out of my mind. But if I had to add an offensive player, it would definitely be him. I think that's it, guys. That's all the questions I have. Thanks to all of the listeners and readers of the site. Thanks to Matt and Jonathan for letting me pick their brains for 30 minutes or so. And we will talk to everybody soon. Wreck 'em.
Thanks, Wes. Thanks, Jonathan.
You're welcome. I've got one more little side note to add.
Shoot.
I know I talked to you all about this a little bit, but I was on the radio with the Arkansas boys on Monday. And I may have told them that I'd buy them a drink if they were able to beat A&M. But something else that came up was they've got Tech penciled in as an automatic win this year. Just wanted to throw that out there.
I think, sadly, I think there are probably 8 teams on our schedule that do.
Right.
I mean, I think outside of Iowa State, Kansas, Sam Houston, and UTEP, I think everyone kind of looks at Tech and thinks, yep, check mark, let's move on. And I can't blame them. I don't expect that to happen, but I can't blame them if I'm looking at their schedule.
Yeah, that's a game that our offense, and it was the same last year, we really needed to go out there and we needed to score our first couple of possessions and get them, while we all know they won't boycott the running game, but get them to think twice about just, you know, pounding it down a team's throats and maybe pass a little bit more than what they want to. I think we're in the same boat this year where our only shot is to go out there, make a few defensive stops, and put points on the board and really take them out of their game plan. I'm not going to say we can't win the football game, but right now, Jonathan, I think you're going to owe some people some drinks or whatever your bet was.
The bet was that if they beat A&M, that I'd get them some drinks. But they did make the mention that they've got us penciled in as an automatic win. And the host, JB, really great guy, he said, I know you guys don't even want to think about talking about Texas Tech football, but we're going to anyway. So, because this was right in the middle of their regional for baseball, so.
Well, it's off season, so every Tech fan's optimistic.
That's right.
You know. All right, fellas. Well, we appreciate it. Thanks for taking the time to chat. And like I said, all the readers and listeners, thanks for your support of the site. We'll talk to you guys later. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Bye.